Welcome to Tuesday Stand-Up. Today we have Denise Shope with us. She's a risk management consultant from RCM&D, and the topic for today is critical inverse those first 24 hours. So, Denise, I will turn this over to you.
Thank you, Jill. I appreciate that very much. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. Thank you for joining our call. As Jill said, our session today is actually the first of a three-series session that we're going to talk about, basically looking at those first 24 hours after a serious safety event or serious adverse event or critical event has occurred. As we know, our goal is always to first sort of to prevent those events, but we all know that sometimes bad things happen. And how we respond to those events, how we handle the immediate identification and reporting and follow-up can be very critical for the outcome of our residents foremost, but also for our communities and our facilities. Today, as I said, is part one of a three-part series. I hope you'll be able to join us for all three series, all three sessions. Our goal today is to really begin to talk about how we identify those events that really respond to a response. So what is a critical event or an adverse event or a serious event? The terminology is all very interchangeable, and yet we know there are some regulatory and legal definitions out there as well that I want to go through. So we're going to do that today, this morning, the next few minutes. We're just going to talk about how do we know when it is that we have to be worried. So many times in hindsight, we find ourselves saying to ourselves, well, gee, at the time it just didn't seem like it was serious enough. Maybe the event didn't, the outcome of the event, the obvious outcome of the event for our resident wasn't so obvious. We didn't really think about it as being serious. Maybe it was something difficult to identify, or we just thought it was part of the normal course of the resident's clinical condition or deterioration. So we weren't really able to identify, and therefore we really weren't able to it properly investigate or follow up, and so we lost that sort of golden opportunity, that golden 24 hours to really get in there and investigate and do some damage control. So today in our session, we really want to identify what it is that we're looking at, what types of events are we really talking about when we really talk about how do we handle those first 24 hours. As probably most of you know, back in 2014, the OIG put out a report with some statistics in it, and that report was called the Adverse Events in Skilled Nursing Facilities Report, the National Incidence Among Medicare Beneficiaries. Again, it's a few years old, but what the OIG did was basically did a retrospective review and identified what they classified as adverse events in skilled nursing. Again, this was not assisted living, but just skilled nursing. And in their report, they found that about 33% of Medicare beneficiaries experienced some type of adverse event during their stay. Additionally, 11% of those Medicare beneficiaries experienced temporary harm during their SNF stay. Reviewers determined that about 59% of these events and the temporary harm were clearly or likely preventable. So as I said initially, we want to try to decrease that number, decrease the frequency of these events from happening. But we do know that it's just the nature of our business that there are going to be some times when something adverse is going to occur with our residents. We want to be able to do everything possible as quickly as possible to mitigate any harm to our residents and certainly any harm to our reputation. Now, let's just talk a little bit about some of these definitions and what the regulators are calling incidences, for example. Starting first with the COMAR definition, you're probably all very familiar with this. They have the definition of an incident, and basically that means it's the death of a resident from anything other than the natural causes. It could be the disappearance or elopement of a resident, an assault on a resident resulting in some type of injury, an injury to a resident which may require treatment by a healthcare practitioner, or an event such as a fall which could subsequently require some type of treatment, abuse of a resident, an error or an omission in medication or treatment which may result in harm to the resident, or any emergency situation or a natural disaster. So that's sort of the short list, if you will, of what incident means by COMAR definition. Most of it is pretty objective. You can kind of figure out what happens. And sometimes it becomes a little more complicated when you're trying to make the causation between the event or the incident and whether or not it resulted in injury to the resident. That's the piece that becomes a little more subjective, a little more difficult to determine. Again, all of these incidents really would be considered serious adverse events, particularly if they resulted in harm to our residents or, God forbid, death. So many times the trigger for our response, particularly our investigation, unfortunately is triggered by the outcome, by harm. It seems like the more serious the event, the more serious the harm, the more urgent our response to that. Let me just say that this does not replace the need to do an investigation and a sort of root cause analysis, if you will, on any type of incident, even if it doesn't harm the resident. Again, the outcome, we may just have been lucky, for example, and so you really want to look at the what happened and how to prevent it from happening so the next time you don't have a doesn't result in a serious injury. But for purposes of this presentation, we're really talking about those events that are serious enough in nature and, again, usually resulted in some type of harm, significant harm, or, God forbid, death in our residents. The OIG report goes on to talk about this adverse event. That's the term they use, compared to the COMAR definition of incident, which is pretty much what guides a lot of our day-to-day operations. OIG talks about adverse events. And again, those are described as basically harm to a resident as a result of medical care, something that was unanticipated. Adverse events, again, are usually resulted in some type of harm as a result of either the medical care, including the failure to provide needed care. So it's not just things that we do to our residents that may result in harm, but things that we don't do that we should have done that could have resulted, that could result in harm. Again, they may be medical errors, but they could also just be substandard care that results in harm, such as maybe an infection caused by contaminated equipment, or just poor monitoring of our residences that result in failure to identify a deteriorating condition. Again, it's not always an error or negligent or poor quality of care, but it's usually something that is related to an outcome or harm that's not anticipated. Again, it gets a little bit difficult to determine that, especially when you have residents who have, you know, again, significant comorbidities and clinical problems that they could be deteriorating irregardless. There are many other sources of definitions that are out there as well. The National Quality Forum has what's called serious reportable events. This list has been out there for some time now, and it was updated back in 2011. That was the last update. But this sort of list of serious reportable events was one way that the National Quality Forum was trying to sort of set the standard, if you will, nationally about what they really felt to be reportable events that should be collected and reported nationwide, and then, of course, initiatives around how to decrease the frequency of these serious events. There's an entire list that's available on the Internet, but actually there's basically seven categories, if you will, and I'm just going to quickly talk to you about the ones that would apply to senior care. The first actual reportable event is around surgery and invasive procedures, so not so much applicable. But the second category is these product or device-related events. So it's basically any resident death or serious injury associated with the use of some type of medical device used for resident care. The best example I could think of is maybe a lift or some type of assistive devices that fails to function the way it's supposed to, and as a result, the resident is injured. Also in that category are things like contaminated drugs or devices that result in infection, and again, in serious injury. The third category is these patient protection events. So, for example, a resident who has a death or a serious injury associated with an elopement or any type of disappearance, or suicide or attempted suicide, or any type of self-harm. That's the third category. The fourth category is basically these care management events, and in that is would be a resident death or injury associated with medication errors. Fall area, your stageable or an unstageable pressure ulcers, for example, stage 3, stage 4, pressure ulcers that are acquired within your facility, and any type of death or serious injury that results from failure to follow up on lab results or pathology or radiological test results, failure to communicate. The next category are these environmental events. So things would be obvious, again, death or serious injury as a result of electrical shock, a burn, a physical restraint, anything related to the use of oxygen or other gases. And then the last category are those events related to criminal events. Again, God forbid, someone impersonating a physician or a nurse, abduction of a patient or resident, sexual abuse, physical abuse, things that are actually criminal in nature. So again, the national those events come from the National Quality Forum. Those are universally recognized for both patients and residents, anyone within the healthcare system, and the trigger again for those is death or serious injury. Now they define serious injury as any event that results in death. Yes, that's serious, or a loss of body part, a disability, a loss of bodily function, or any event that requires a major intervention for correction, including a transfer to a higher level of care or a surgical intervention. So if one of these events occur, and again, the outcome is harm to your resident, including a need to be transferred to a higher level of care for an intervention, then that would be classified as a serious reportable event by the National Quality Forum. So as you can see, there's a lot of definitions out there. So far, we have the COMAR sort of list of incidences that are reportable. We have the adverse event definition, and then we have these national quality serious reportable events. And if that isn't enough, just recently, the IHI, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, put out their skilled nursing facility trigger tool for measuring adverse events. And if you haven't, if there's anyone on the call who's responsible for quality or risk management, or just overall administration of your facilities, particularly if you're in a skilled nursing facility, you should take a look at this tool. It's on the IHI website. Again, it's called the IHI Skilled Nursing Facility Trigger Tool. And I don't have enough time to go in details about this, but you should take a look at that because there's an initiative coming up that's starting shortly about how to measure adverse events in your community, in your facility, how to benchmark, and how to, again, get involved with this nationwide initiative looking at adverse events in skilled nursing. And then just in final, there's this definition out there that you should just know about in case you ever hear it, probably not very likely, but this definition called a potentially compensable event. And I always call it the, you know, what's your gut telling you? If your gut is telling you that there's a potential that this event, this adverse event that happened to one of your residents could end up in litigation, that you could get sued over this, then that is sort of that internal trigger, not only to report it to your insurance company or to your risk manager, but also to do a very thorough and deep dive investigation. If you follow the Joint Commission's sentinel event definition, their definition changed a little bit in the last year, and it's a little clearer, actually. Of course, it's any event that has nothing to do with the natural course of the resident's illness, but that results in death, permanent harm, or what's called severe temporary harm. And this is basically, again, harm that is either life-threatening, that requires a transfer to a higher level of care, that requires intervention for a life-threatening condition, or any additional major surgery, treatment, or procedure. So that's the Joint Commission's definition of sentinel event. And then, of course, they list all of their examples of what they believe to be sentinel in nature. But again, if it triggers that definition of sentinel event, then clearly that would be something that you would want to respond to in a very timely and quick way, not only with a root cause analysis, but with your thorough investigation. So what I would challenge you to do is go back to your organizations, go back to your facilities and say, well, what do we use in our community to sort of trigger this serious safety event or this critical event? How do we identify these events? Are they always obvious? And again, the obvious ones are the obvious, but sometimes there are events that you're not really sure. You need to go back and look at your definitions and how you make that determination. Because the next two sessions that we're going to talk about are going to be how we respond to those. First, again, today's session was on how we're going to recognize it. The next session will be how do we respond? What do we need to do in that first 24 hours? And then how do we resolve it? How do we mitigate that harm or risk to our residents and to our organizations as well? So I went a minute over, I think. Any questions for me?
And I'm just unmuting lines, so if you have questions, now's the time, or any sort of comment that from your own experience. Okay. Denise, thank you so much, and we will look forward to the next Tuesday stand-up in 2 weeks. That will be part two of this critical incident. Now we know how to identify them. Next step is what to do. Thank you all very much, and have a good day.
Everyone have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.